And I was texting Chuck this morning and told him what I was preaching from Matthew 26, 30 through 76. And he goes, "Wow, that's a lot to get through." But he said, "But if God can walk on water and change water to wine, he can probably do this." So, in just a few weeks, we are going to be celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, let me just say this, and this is one of my pet peeves. So just so you know, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ every Sunday. We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ every Sunday. That's what our Sunday services are about. That's why we worship on Sunday, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we celebrate his resurrection every Sunday. But the annual celebration is coming up. And, of course, we're going to meet that with a sunrise service and a breakfast meal, a fellowship, and everything. But so this year, and this will be my 32nd Christmas or Easter season. And so it kind of sometimes. But anyway, this year, we're going to be looking a little at the darker side. Matter of fact, I've entitled this series, and I don't know how it'll fly, but The Bad Boys of Easter. We're going to be looking this morning at Peter's denial and his repentance. And next week, we're going to be looking at Judas and his betrayal. And the week after that, I haven't lined out yet, but I'm looking at either Caiaphas or somebody else, Pilate, or in my notes, I said we'll be looking at God, but he's really not one of the bad boys of Easter. But when you think about it, we look at what God did with the Lord Jesus on the cross as he poured out his wrath on him. That was pretty bad. And there's a passage in Luke that has always caught my attention that talks about when they're arresting him, Jesus said, "But this is your hour when darkness reigns." And I always thought, really? I don't know what that means. So I did a sermon on it a few years ago, and I may revisit that. But do you sometimes feel like, oh, poor Peter, he always seems to get the bad rap? And I always think, oh, poor Peter, he brings it on himself. Don't you think sometimes? But today we want to look and see why sometimes Peter gets himself into hot water. And so we want to look, first of all, and I'm not going to read the text. We already read it for the scripture reading, but I'm going to pick out certain parts of the text. And you know, this is not the way I like to do this. I like to go verse by verse and exegete the passage and everything, but we'll exegete the passages we look at. But the first thing we want to look at is a preview to denial. You see, the denial of the Lord Jesus, Peter's denial, didn't happen in a vacuum. He didn't wake up that day and say, "You know what, today I'm going to deny the Lord. Now, I'm not going to just deny him once, I'm going to deny him three times, and then I'm going to go to bed." He didn't do that. And this thing didn't happen in a vacuum. And so I want us to just trace back and see how he kind of got himself set up to that, because that's the way it is in our life. Sin doesn't happen in a vacuum. A lot of times we make provision for it. In other words, Peter, he didn't not plan for it. He didn't not plan for it. That's a double negative. Terrible if you're an English teacher. Ignore me if you're an English teacher. But he didn't not plan for it. So many times when people fall into sin, we can go back and kind of trace back and see where it started. I was reading through Proverbs this week, and in Proverbs 7, the dad was encouraging his son. He says, "Don't go down to that area. Don't go to the home or that area of the prostitute or the adulteress." And then he said, he gives a vision of this guy watching through his window as the young man was going down toward her house. And the only reason he went into her house and everything like that was because he was in the neighborhood. If he had never been in the neighborhood, he wouldn't have gone into her house. We see that Joseph is a great example of a guy who doesn't go there. He avoids it at all costs. And even when Potiphar's wife grabs a hold of him and says, "Sleep with me," he's like, "No," and he leaves his coat. He runs out of his coat and leaves. He ran from that temptation. Paul tells Timothy to flee youthful lust. And then Paul also tells Timothy, it's not just that. There's other areas that we go down the rabbit hole. And one of the ones I think was one of Timothy's weaknesses is that he probably enjoyed a good debate. So Paul tells them, listen, don't be involved with these guys, these useless babblers. He said, don't go into it. And he says, avoid irreverent babble or what is falsely called knowledge. In other words, don't get involved in that. Don't get goaded into an argument. Walk away. It's okay. And so he's teaching them how to do that. In Romans chapter 13, verses 13 and 14, he says this, let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies or in drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and what? Make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. And so we want to walk with Peter before the denial and find out where he made provision for the flesh, where he made the provision for his denial. Because I think it's really important for us, especially in your own life, if you have sinned or you know that this is a weakness, to analyze what leads me to that. What steps do I take? One guy told me one time that there's no easy exit on the downhill slide to compromise. Well, that's pretty true. And so as we look through with Peter, we want to look through the steps. Now, first of all, we see Peter's overconfidence in himself. It starts in verse 30 of Matthew 26. Notice what he says in verse 30 through 33. He says, and when they had sung a hymn, this is after they've finished their thing, they've sung a hymn, they finished the Passover meal, the disciples and Jesus. Judas is gone by this time. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And then Jesus said to them, now, more than likely, Jesus is telling them this en route. As they leave Jerusalem, head across the Kidron Valley and up onto the Mount of Olives, which is also the Mount of the Olive Press. Anyway, he says to them, and this is one of the things, he says, you will all fall away because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. Now Jesus says, you will all fall away. And then he quotes Zechariah 13:7 as if to support